numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by DraftKings here at Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, if you could do a promo for Bar Canada at the D. Well, what would you say? What would you say to the fine people?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, some of the best video poker pay tables in town. So if you're into that, you should get on down here. And if you're
preferably the one right behind Kelly.
Right. Yeah. During the show, right behind me, just shove aside the red ropes like a lot of people do. You just light up a cigar and sit right behind me and blow smoke in my general direction. That's always nice. Always nice to have during the show. I don't like these are the spots that I love to watch games. Get me in front of a video poker machine with all these TVs that Bar Canada has. Fire it up. I could sit there for hours.
You love nursing a drink and playing yourself some video poker.
I do.
That's your thing.
Yeah, very much so.
I like it. All right. You want to do more NFL or are we waiting on Paul?
We're waiting on Paul, so we're going to do some more NFL.
Let's do some more NFL. Okay. So
technical difficulties.
Yay. It happens. So here's the deal. So before we were talking about these great props that Kelly discovered over at DraftKings, and it's always good to dive into a DraftKings app because there are so many different things to bet. We talked about this before baseball season. That's how I discovered the monthly bets DraftKings has this. I wonder if anybody here has this. Thank goodness DraftKings did in March, April, because otherwise I never would have discovered it here. I never would have occurred to me. And then DraftKings since hasn't done it, but thank God that they did. And now in the NFL season, they have tons of stuff, including the drive for week five. It's really through week five matchups of NFL teams, with a tie thrown in there as well. So Kelly talked about a couple he liked. We both matched on the Commanders over the Patriots. Commanders minus 135 to me is a very bettable price. The other one that I loved, and I like a bunch of them, right? We can get into some of these others too. But the other one that I loved was the Browns are matched up against the Steelers. Now, I loved this one so much, Kelly, that it made me think about other bets, too. So Cleveland, this is what Cleveland has, first five. Dallas at Jacksonville. Then they have the Giants at the Raiders at Washington. So Dallas at home at Jacksonville. Okay. But then Giants at home, Raiders on the road, Washington on the road. So two that, you know, the common person would think are difficult, three not so difficult. Here's what Pittsburgh has. Now, remember, the Pittsburgh Steelers, famously, and we all said this, not just here on this show, but everybody on this network, everybody in mainstream media, the way that the Pittsburgh Steelers close their season is the hardest gauntlet of games you will ever see on any team schedule, the way that the Steelers close. Well, guess what? As we pointed out at the time, too, their opening to their schedule ain't that easy either. Here's what Pittsburgh has to start the season. At Atlanta, at Denver in the elevation, Kelly. Oh, you might call it altitude, not me. At Atlanta, at Denver. Then Chargers at home, at Indianapolis, Dallas at home. Good God. Cleveland is a plus 105 proposition here. Pittsburgh plus 150, the ties plus 280. Give me the Brownies at plus 105. Are you kidding me? They got a Giants, a Raiders, and a Skins game in there. Pittsburgh has literally zero gimmies. Even if you think Denver stinks, it's still into elevation. Browns plus 105. In fact, this got me thinking about how in sports betting, you know, it's often good to be contrarian to the common opinion. When we have a college basketball play that, like, different hosts on the network love, and nobody else loves the other side, we always sort of say, oh, boy, you know what that means. On the Megapod, if three of us land on a certain team, we always say to each other out loud, we're like, oh, no, if three of us have it, it's a definite loser. Just this week alone, like I was talking about the Royals, July wins, and how it's contrarian thinking to take a team, like I did with the Astros in June, of a team that has some of the fewest games scheduled in a given month and trying to bet them most wins, but I explained why. There are other things. People love the Eagles. I don't love them so much. So it's good to be contrarian. But every once in a while, something comes along in sports and in sports betting where you're like, not only is it a consensus opinion, but it is so ridiculously right that you just have to go with it. And that is the Steelers and the season win total under, which I've already bet once, Kelly, right when it came out. But as we're going through this prop, and I like the Browns plus 105 and the drive for five against the Steelers, again, it triggered the Steelers thing where I'm like, how in the hell, can I use that word? Is that allowed? How can this team come close to their season win total?
Yeah.
How? So 7.5 is an alternate season win under. I'm betting that next. I may bet it right here, right now.
Yeah,
on the Steelers.
Bet the 8.5 pretty heavy. You know, earlier in the year. I'm with you, though. This is, yeah, you know, but Gil, come on.
I know what you're about to say. I mean,
you know we have to say it.
But is that...
He's never had a losing season, Gil. How could you possibly make that bet?
Is that artificially propping this up?
I would hope not. I don't think so.
That would be crazy, right?
It would be crazy. That would be crazy.
Because if you look back on, like, Mike Tomlin's seasons, right?
I've been on the under the past three years? I don't even know.
But think about this. So, like, there's some 8-8s in there, and there's a 9-8 in there. So don't correct me if I'm wrong. If you go back into those seasons, there are games where, like, they miraculously won or they somehow figured out a way to win. And so if that just changes, right, and they have one season in there where they don't have the non-losing season, none of us are ever mentioning this, and none of this matters. So that think how it was like that Triple Crown thing we used to talk about. Oh, my God, it's been 37 years since a horse has won the Triple Crown, since Affirmed won it in 1978. And so we say this so much and so much that it becomes this thing that actually, like, all it takes is one extra level of thinking, like we just did with Tomlin and how he got to all his records. If you actually look back at Triple Crown races, there were so many near misses. Like, the fact that it didn't happen didn't mean that it was likely to continue happening. Now, I know it doesn't happen every year, but that's not because that it's something that a horse can't achieve if the right horse comes along, and American Pharoah broke that streak. But, and we've had one since. So Justified also won a Triple Crown, if I'm not mistaken. So, point being, this is just one of these things. The Steelers schedule to me is one of these things, and the season win total under is one of these rare things in sports. Now, if I end up being wrong and Mike Tomlin ends up having a non-losing season again, my God, not only am I tipping the cap, yeah, I'm taking Kelly's cap, and I'm tipping that one too.
I've been wrong about it for I don't know how many years in a row now.
But this, to me, seems like one of the rare things that comes along in sports betting. Not rare, but like once in a while it comes by where you're like, no, everybody's actually right about this. They cannot possibly get to it.
I would think that too. And going back to the drive for week five, I like your bet. That was one that I looked at as well. I have my questions about...
I forgot that's how we started this.
I have my questions about Cleveland offensively still. Like, that, it's just... Like, I've been the guy who the past couple years, on the other side of it, right? Like, not only have I been wrong about the Steelers, I've been wrong about the Browns for the most part, too, because I thought Deshaun Watson was going to be so much better than he has been.
Well, he's only played 11 games.
It's wild. I know, it's
for
wild.
For them, in two seasons.
I just, the part I don't get, like, I can't get on board anymore with what a lot of people seem to be, it is, like, that this is the year that he's getting. I'm like, how many more years is going to be, this is going to be the year where Deshaun Watson, you know, comes out and looks great? I mean, I really think this is maybe the last year you can really say something like that before we have to move on. Because of all the injuries, you can at least say that, we haven't seen as much of them as we should.
Brownies 7-4 in those 11 games.
I think I like your bet actually better than my Dolphins one simply because of the price.
How are they plus money?
Yeah, I think the wins are probably about the same. Like, I have some questions about...
I don't.
Well, no, I'm talking of like compared to the Dolphins schedule with the Browns, but I'm laying minus 140 compared to your plus 105. Yeah. So I actually think yours is probably a little bit better. There is there's some teams though. Like, I mean, gosh, where we're at right now in the offseason with the Dallas Cowboys, like, you have any idea what to expect out of that team week one?
Wyatt and I were talking about this, not just Wyatt and I, but we had Zach on talking NFC East with us last week when the guide came out. And my whole thing is, while I am down, just talking NFC East, while I am down on the Eagles compared to others, I did concede that the Eagles could end up winning the division by, the word I used was the political convention word they use, which is by acclamation. Like, everybody else is just going to bow out. And Dallas, the thing is with Dallas is Jerry Jones all of a sudden doesn't want to pay anybody.
Yep.
He's like, no, Jerry finally figured it out that maybe the approach he's been taking all these years is off. So he's like not paying anybody at the current moment. And I just wonder if Dallas starts poorly or has a bad first half of the season, does it become this, and we'll never know this publicly probably, maybe we will, maybe, but most likely we won't, if there's this sort of like internal insurrection where they're like, and he's not paying us.
I think that's absolutely possible. So that's part of my that's fine. You don't like the Eagles? That's fine. I like the Eagles, but that is part of the.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Like I haven't made a bet on them yet. No, but I'm going to make a division bet on them. I don't really know what I'm waiting for at this point.
But part and parcel with what I'm just saying. So even if the Eagles do win the NFC East by default, are most people still think they're either the best or the second best team in the NFC? And I
second best. I couldn't put them above San Francisco.
Well, okay. I think there are some, but what I'm saying is, I think there is a school of thought where they are not even a top four. They're not even a top three team. Like that, San Francisco, Detroit, and Green Bay might end up being better than that.
I can't push back on that today. I think there's still way too many unknowns for me personally on Green Bay and the Rams for how excited people are about both of those teams. Like I
didn't say the Rams.
I know you didn't. But yeah. Those are the two teams that I feel like everybody's getting real excited about that I'm like, I'm going to wait and see a little bit here. The Rams kind of took that step forward. I thought they would last year, but even more than I expected. I don't know if they can replicate that again and even continue to get better this next season.
Again, shout out
to the Packers. Absolutely, they could.
Shout out to DraftKings for these Drive for Week 5s. We could actually go through more of these. I don't like as much, but I like. And we're efforting Paul Carr as well.
Yeah, we got Paul coming up next.
Paul's next. Well, like I said, soccer on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
With our all-new NFL Betting Guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL Betting Guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. With in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends, you'll have all the tools you need to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, you've got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, though, for a limited time. Get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price. Normally $240 a year. You can subscribe now for just $199 with promo code ANG. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this incredible offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Use promo code ANG.
ANG like a numbers game.
13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. Instant access to our all-new NFL betting guide, VSIN.com/subscribe. Just went ahead and made the Steelers alternate season win totals under bet. Already had there at the standard number.
Nice.
Just did under 7.5 at plus 155 here at Circa because how in the heck, I downgraded, how in the heck are they winning 8 games?
What'd you get under 7.5 at 155?
Plus 155.
They don't have a 7.5 option up at DraftKings. 6.5 at plus 175.
I don't know if you know this, but we have a sports book right here.
No, I know. It's just like, DraftKings has gotten to the point now where it does 5 different alt options.
Oh, so yeah. Circa does 3.
They do 3, yes. Yeah. Steelers are anywhere from 4.5 through 12.5.
Oh, now that would be interesting.
Under 4.5, 6-1.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Haven't read any tweets today. What's wrong with it? Larry Matthews Jr. Actually love having the Olympics leading right into college football season. Yeah, I do too. Jason H11, the ADHD is running rampant between you two today. We resemble that remark, Jason. anxiously awaiting the talk about the intricacies of cricket. Just to follow, VSiN says, can we please install a 10,000-to-1 line on one lap of steeplechase completed and try it. That would be high quality video and you'd get some takers for sure. We all know you have to take anything at 10,000-to-1. If somebody gives you 10,000-to-1 on anything, you take it. This is from Martin Bernstein. Says, Gil, you and Kelly have such great chemistry. Astros World Series Lynx champs, I think he says. He's making predictions also in there. Well, thank you for the nice comment. That's very nice. I'm Ron Burgundy through all these, by the way, Kelly. Frank Doyle, these drive for five bets seem to be written as most wins after their first five games, not necessarily first 5 weeks. No. It is 5 weeks. So
it is most wins.
It is most wins, but it is 5 weeks. So there are certain teams that are involved in matchups. We haven't gotten to them yet that have a bye. Like Detroit has a bye in week five, and so it makes the matchup with them particularly interesting when they're matched up with other teams here. This is from Corbin. Whoever tweeted in and suggested Kelly do the steeple race, that's me. I did that. I tweeted in and suggested it.
It's a steeplechase, okay?
Steeplechase.
Get it right,
well, he
people,
got a typo.
Okay?
Come on. Whoever tweeted in and suggested Kelly do the steeple race, he meant steeplechase, I think might be trying to kill the man. That's me. I was trying to kill him. You have to put, quote, "I couldn't get over that damn hurdle," unquote, on a T-shirt. Also, we remember the catch Kelly, please. We do not need a repeat of that again. He's referring to the catch Kelly made just sort of casually during the Matt Brown bet where Kelly, what did you end up doing?
I was fielding a punt return, okay? And then, yes, I had a slight tear of my left calf.
All right.
Left calf.
We got Paulie?
Yeah, we got Paulie.
All right, sorry. I'm going to stop reading tweets. We got more we got to get to. Paul Carr joins us from Topeka, Kansas. He was in attendance at the United States loss to Uruguay last night. Sorry he was there to witness it. Comes to us courtesy of...
necessarily to view it. Having gone back and watched a lot of the game last night and this morning, there were a lot of terrible calls. It's not why the U.S. lost, because the U.S. was not good and didn't deserve to win, but it just is kind of that sour aftertaste after what's already something pretty sour that you had to choke down from the game itself.
Yeah. I thought, and it shouldn't be me thinking this, but the experts were saying that, you know, the U.S. actually looked pretty good in the first half. And it certainly they were applying most of the pressure in the first half. The ref did them no favors. There was a, you know, he's pulling a yellow card. He allowed Uruguay to keep playing. Yeah. You know,
That's a black and white thing.
That's a black and white thing. That's right.
Right. That's not a, well, maybe he got some of the ball or didn't intend or whatever. There's no gray area for that one. It's if you're blowing it.
There's also
given a yellow card and you've blown the whistle, you don't let play continue.
Yeah, could have resulted in an Uruguay goal. It didn't, but then there was another one where there was a handball and we still had the advantage and he blew the whistle to negate that advantage. So, I mean, there's a bunch more of that. Is the coach going to pay the price? He's going to lose his job here, Greg Berhalter?
I think so. I mean, I have always been two things. One, I do point the finger at the players more than the coach in general, because, I mean, the players are the ones not doing things ultimately. And I think it's really, I'm in favor of term limits for head coaches, really. One World Cup cycle.
Yeah.
Like, it's very rare. It's only a handful of coaches that ever go to back-to-back World Cups. Like, of the 32 teams, it's usually only maybe three or four at most that are there again. And there's a reason for that. It's just kind of, you need new blood, you need new ideas. And U.S. soccer is a little different because the head coach tends to have more responsibilities elsewhere in the federation. But I think it's just run its course. As much as the players like him, it's just time to make a change. And I would expect it to happen in the next week or two.
Time to make a change. I was asking Kelly this earlier, and I say this obviously in jest, but how many goals did Lukaku get in this Euro Cup tournament? How many did he get?
He had like two or three expected goals. Does that count?
Yeah. I don't know if that counts towards the Golden Boot. I'll check on that. I'll do some research on that. Yeah.
Check the rules of your sports book. I'm not sure.
That's right. Check. Maybe expected goals might count at one of these. All right. We have two games. We have six of the eight quarterfinal sides are in there. England-Switzerland on one side of the bracket awaiting the other bracket to be filled there. On the filled side, Spain and Germany. Portugal, which, my God, that those penalty shots at the end yesterday, was that the worst penalty shot performance ever by a side? Slovenia yesterday? My God.
Yeah. Diego Costa, first keeper to save three penalties in a shootout at Euros, so good job by him.
Is that great goalkeeping or terrible shooting?
Can I answer that real quick before Paul does? Like, the third one I thought was terrible shooting. Like, the third one, he was like, okay, I'm about to go this direction. I don't know about the first two,
It's always a little bit of both, you know. Yeah. If you, I mean, if you put a penalty in the right spot with the right pace, it's unsavable. Now, you know, is it worth the risk of aiming just for that corner on the off chance, you know, it goes a little farther left and hits the post? That's always the, and that's the calculus everyone has to make. But yeah, it was a little bit of both yesterday.
Yeah. And by the way, it should be noted, like, to your point, Ronaldo barely put his in, right? Like, he just squeaked it in the corner. Even he was like, ooh. All right. So, and so we have them all set. Portugal, France being the other one I mentioned there. Spain, Germany. England, Switzerland. So the cream is rising. We have to determine the last one today with these two matches. Romania and the Netherlands, the Dutch. That starts in 37 minutes. What do you like here?
We've got to have a big upset of this round, right? I mean, Slovenia almost got by Portugal. Slovakia could have, should have, you know, almost got by England, but gave up a goal in the last 30 seconds to blow that bet for me. So I like Romania here. This is very price dependent because I've seen, I got a plus 470 this morning. I've seen it as low as plus 350, which I would not go below like plus 440 or so here. But in these knockout games where teams tend to keep things tight, you get a price like that, I think it's pretty appealing. This is plus 470 to advance. So whether it's to win outright or extra time or penalties or whatever. Romania is a very, they have a high floor, or no, they have a low floor and a high ceiling. You know, they could, we saw them beat Ukraine 3-0 when they had two or three shots from way outside the box just go in. They take a lot of those kinds of shots. So there's a lot of variance here. So this is one where, you know, Romania might get run off the field here. But they could also put in two or three goals and have the Dutch back on their heels in the first half like they did against Ukraine. But I like the plus 470 price for them to get through. It's just too high a price here.
Romania to advance. However they advance. Plus 470 from Paul against the Netherlands. And then Austria and Turkey. We had Dallin Cuff on yesterday. Didn't he like Austria to get to the semis, I think?
Oh, I bet him, too. I like what I see from Paul today.
Yeah, Paul corroborates here, at least for today. What do you like?
Yeah, that's a reasonable play. Austria, they won their group. To be honest, I'm not totally sure that they're good, but I know their games are frenetic. It's the style of their manager, Ralf Rangnick, who used to manage at RB Leipzig, among other places. So over 2.5 is my favorite play for today at minus 110. Neither one of these teams can defend. They're bottom two or three in the tournament so far as what they're giving up defensively. So my favorite is over 2.5. I also like Austria win at minus 105 separately. They're just a little bit better than Turkey. I think their frenetic style, again, there's going to be goals one way or the other. So the over is good and extra time is unlikely. So the outright win at minus 105.
Outright win, the over, Austria over Turkey, Romania to advance. Paul Carr, at Paul Carr on Twitter, Expected Value Podcast, and of course, True Media Networks. Thank you, Paulie. Appreciate it, man.
Welcome. I'm going to go cry again now. Bye.
It's going to go weep in the embryonic position in the corner of a room. We're coming back with Paul Spohr next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Bar Canada at the D. Lovely D, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland. It's a numbers game. Did you see, Kelly, that the Astros, they won yesterday, but they didn't get their first hit till the fifth inning because clearly the June celebration... They probably were partying late into the night.
That's right.
And, you know, they just weren't ready to go when the game started.
As one does.
When you win a June championship, that's what you do. Paul Spohr joins us from Austin, Texas, where Kelly was just at. Did you call Paul Spohr when you were there?
I did not call Paul Spohr. No, I did not.
Courtesy of the progressive.
Great time, though.
Courtesy of the progressive guest
line. As long as you had a good time. There's lots to do. It's no big deal. And I'm a homebody anyway. Let's be honest. I wouldn't have gone out.
Paul wearing a Florida Marlins cap and a Pink Panthers shirt today. There that's what we got going on here. Wait, because people were asking this on Twitter. What was your favorite? Did you have a favorite food, a favorite restaurant that you went to in Austin while you were there?
I got a lot of barbecue questions. I was only there for, I guess I was there 5 days. So I only did barbecue once. It was on the second day. We went to L.A. Barbecue, Leanne's Barbecue, Paul.
Sure.
Was amazing. Yeah. It was incredible. Yeah. It was some of the best barbecue I've ever had in my life. Thankfully, we also had the Uber driver on the way there.
Yeah.
Where I'm sure you guys have run into this. The Uber driver who knows the historical background of anything you want to know about in the city. So, like, it's kind of comical and annoying, but also was extremely helpful. Where he's like, so this is what happened with the barbecue. Like, Leanne left whatever in Houston. Came
in
down
1878.
To Austin. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I had an Uber driver in San Francisco the other day that we had the freeway when you go into the city from the south, from the airport.
Yeah.
There's a spot in the traffic. Everybody knows this on the 101 where it grinds to a halt. And you know what he started doing, which wasn't annoying at all? You know how the race car drivers thing when they wave the yellow flag and they start turning back and forth like this?
Gee.
He was doing that in the middle of the freeway. Uh-huh. I was like, what are you doing? Anyway, Paul Spohr is here from Austin. Paul, I don't know if you know this. So we've been betting on this show. I've been betting
on this show.
That wasn't the end of the sentence.
Oh.
These monthly Major League Baseball markets of most wins, and I don't know in the history of this show if we've gotten as much traction on anything else, more traction on anything else than we have on this. Maybe as much, but not more. And it just has made baseball so fun. Like when it's so easy to drift in a normal, you know, a 162 game schedule, mm-hmm. if you're not constantly locked in with a bet, some of us who are not like as deep into baseball as you, we get super locked into these things. And I'm just wondering, man, there's got to be ways beyond betting for baseball to make this interesting in an NBA kind of way where they do like in-game, you know, they're doing in-season stuff in basketball. And I wonder if Rob Manfred, I even hate that I'm even suggesting this, because it's like I love the purity of baseball and I hate some of the rule changes. But, man, some of this might be interesting for, you know, growing the sport. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be interested in it. Like, yes, you're not wrong. Again, the sigh and the somber tone is because of who is in charge and some of the things that we've seen come out of that group thus far. But, yeah, I mean, I actually used to play in a fantasy league that not only had the prize for the whole year, but each month. Every month, the winner was fighting for something. So you could have the most wretched season ever but win September because you picked up 3 call-ups. And get your money back, right? Like, so there's something to play for. And that's one of the bigger problems of fantasy baseball. You know, it obviously doesn't hold a candle to football in terms of popularity because of the ease of football. It's one day a week. It's just not that hard. And I'm not saying that to besmirch fantasy football. I play it. I enjoy it. But it's very easy. And that's why it's so popular. Baseball does need more things. Obviously, DFS fills some hole there. But what you've been talking about, like with these, you know, picking Cleveland and Houston as your monthly champions, it's a lot of fun. I do like kind of breaking the season down a bit more. Heck, even with my rankings these days, my starting pitcher rankings, I like breaking it down instead of saying like rest of season. What are your rest of season rankings in May? I don't know because I have no idea what's going to happen. Why try to be that precise? Here's my next 4 weeks of rankings. So even just breaking things down in general in baseball makes it more digestible in general. So I'm not surprised that you're finding success with that with your shorter term bets.
All right. I'm going to ask you a bunch of impossible questions to answer then. Just based on with that backdrop, now I'm going to ask you impossible questions.
Can't wait.
Every division, so 4 out of the 6 divisions, second place team is 6 games or more behind the first place team. The only divisions that are closer, Houston's 3 games behind the Mariners and the AL West, and the Orioles and Yankees are in a basically a de facto tie, difference of percentage points. How many actual great division races will we have down the stretch of September?
So how many more than the 2 that they're shaping up the East and the West?
No, including those. Like, will those still be?
I think those will hold.
Okay.
I think Orioles-Yankees will remain a great battle. I think, you know, I talked last week about the other Texas team, the Rangers, me thinking that they could come into the mix too. They didn't go out and have the best week after that, but I'm not terribly concerned there. I still think both Texas teams can give the Mariners a lot to handle because the Mariners hitting just doesn't impress me. Now, pitching can paper over a lot of issues, and that's what they've done this year. The Mariners have, but I don't know that they're going to be able to fend off these two Texas teams. Obviously, chief among them right now is Houston. And then I still think there's a path for Atlanta to get close to Philly despite some of the struggles and injuries they've had, right? They've lost 2 of the greatest players in baseball in Strider and Acuna. So the fact that they're only 8 out is a bit of an achievement in a weird way. They're still a deep team. They still have a motivated general manager who's very sharp, but they need to clean up that lineup. They are running a half lineup right now in Atlanta. And it kind of started even before the Acuna injury, but then you take him out because we were always expecting him to get better. So even when he wasn't full Acuna, it's like, well, he's going to come on. Now he ain't coming. Like the cavalry is not coming with Acuna. They need some improvement offensively, but they can give the Phillies some hell there. And I like that Phillies team. It's more than I also like Atlanta's team and their willingness to push. So I think we end up with 3 to 4 division races that are actually intriguing.
Mm. Atlanta, by the way, 8 games behind the Phillies currently as we are around the halfway mark of the Major League Baseball season. 3.5 games clear of not being in the playoffs at all, it should be mentioned, in the playoff picture currently, the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. You, for those who have not known you forever, which I have had the pleasure of knowing you forever, you first started by doing these unbelievable starting pitching guides, which were guys that were going to be on the major league roster. They were pitchers in the minor leagues, you know, the farm system. It was just unbelievable. I was like, who is this kid? This is incredible.
I want to know who that kid is, too.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
I don't think I could do it again.
Yeah. And if I say the same thing about certain things I did, that is so interesting. But you're all about pitching. That is where you made your hay. Right now, AL Cy Young, NL Cy Young, who you think is the best right now, who you think with your sort of projections of these pitchers, who do you think might be worth a bet?
You know, I think it's Glasnow and Skubal right now that jump out to me as the guys I like as the favorites. You know, Crochet's been unbelievable. What kind of innings is he going to face? Is Hauk going to get any sort of innings hold back there? I don't think they should necessarily or have to, because first off, those things don't work. And the Pirates were great to come out the other day and basically acknowledge that they kind of botched it with Ronzi Contreras, who's not even in their org anymore. And so they're not going to do a hard shutdown with Skeens and Jared Jones. Could Skeens get into the Cy picture? I mean, he could, but I don't think I want to bet that. I think there's just too much of an uphill battle for him. And with Hauk, he is 28 years old. Like, how much do you really have to baby him? So I think those guys are very much in the mix. But if I'm betting right now, it's really tough because those guys are kind of favorites. I still love Corbin Burnes. I can't ever get away from him. I know his K's aren't there right now. And when you're picking nits, you do have to kind of get in there and start to be harsh on guys, even when it's not the biggest issue. But I think that's the nit that you could pick with Corbin Burnes. But if he turns the K's up, the wins could be through the roof. And we know that that doesn't mean that they're better just because they have more wins in the win-loss column. But the voters, there are still contingents of voters that care about it. Another thing is, we don't know which voters will be voting on the Cy Young. So we don't know which ones are narrative-driven based on things like that. So I think some of those guys on the contenders, obviously you have to keep Wheeler in the mix. Even Nola, he can make a run too. Think about the great second halves that we've had, though, from guys that where they've won the Cy Young. I think what you really need to be looking at, not just the favorites, is looking for the guys that could make those pivotal moves. I would look at those Seattle pitchers, any of the three. I don't know that I have a firm lean. Pick one of your favorites there and figure out who you think could make a big summer move. Start mapping out some of the expected schedule. It'll change. It'll get disrupted. But what could set up for guys? So I think you really want to get in and start to look and see who could create that crazy narrative down the second half stretch and not just go for the favorites.
Yeah, Luis Castillo, by the way, 30-1, speaking of Seattle pitchers. Logan Gilbert, 12-1, pardon me. 12-1.
Where's Kirby?
Kirby, I'm going to have to look a little deeper on
Kirby. Because
he's
my favorite pitcher on that team.
Kirby's 40-1.
So there you go. I like one of the longer shots, too. I've actually been a Gilbert guy because I feel like he's always gotten a little bit shorter shrift compared to the other two. But he's the one having the breakout right now, the huge season Gilbert. So he's the short shot. I like Kirby or Castillo at their prices because they're just as good as he is.
Yeah. If it ends up being Tanner Houck, by the way, I'm going to hate myself because when I had the Guardians bet in March, April, and it was one of those rare games that month where the Guardians got completely stifled. He was unbelievable, and I actually said on the show, I'm like, wow, Tanner Houck, and I believe the consensus was, oh, he won't get enough innings. But
kind of a righty Chris Sale, but at 28, I don't think they need to hold him. I think he could get 180 innings, and that's all you need to do it this year,
yeah,
these days.
15-1 currently. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Paul Spohr, everybody. More NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for every team, new quarterback and head coach breakdown, Super Bowl predictions, prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from the VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. You know what just happened there? I'm reading this NFL promo.
And then someone got in a machine behind me and lit up a cigarette just like I was talking about earlier.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, no, as I mentioned, the Coach of the Year awards part, I was just killing the Steelers. I wasn't killing the Steelers earlier. I was just saying it's one of these rare moments or one of these things that comes along once in a while where their schedule, everyone's right. There's no chance they're winning nine games, let alone eight. Right. And then I was reading. I was like, these experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year and Coach of the Year awards. And something in my head triggered like cut to a shot of us like after week 13. Well, there's Mike Tomlin.
Dude, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what did I have under 8.5 last year? I think was the number. I think it was the same thing. I think it was 8.5, and just like the end of the season, you're like, what is going on here?
It was your favorite bet of the year. You said you're like, oh, I love my Steelers under.
Yeah, like, it was. It was my favorite bet of the year. It was.
Oh man, I love the NFL. We all do. Can't wait.
I don't think I have one of those yet. Do you have a NFL futures bet that you're like, this is my favorite bet?
My favorite bet is the Steelers unders. Okay. Now I have an alternate one. It's my favorite. It was the obvious first thing when the schedules came out.
Well, the first bet, didn't we both make the first bet of the year was the Bengals to win the AFC North?
We made that before the schedule ever came out. Yeah.
I mean, I've got a few bets, but I don't know if I've got one that I'm like in love with yet. I haven't bet any of them heavy.
It's like different ratings. I really like this one, and I'd like to date it. But this one I love.
That's right. And if anything, it would be the one I put in the guide. It is the Bears. I went on the alt high. I played the under on. So under 9.5. I had to lay -165. But it's kind of similar. Like, there's a lot of these situations are similar. I think the Steelers are maybe a good comp to that, where it's just, like, I think the Packers are going to be good. I think the Lions are going to be good. And I don't think the Vikings are going to be all that bad. So I really don't see how the Bears are making it to 10 wins even. And I'm not saying they're going to be bad, but it's a lot to expect out of a rookie quarterback.
Can I talk about a few more of these drive for fives? So I gave the ones that I liked the most were Commanders -135 versus the Patriots and a tie. Browns +105 in their matchup with the Steelers in the DraftKings drive for week 5 markets. But I'll tell you what I also like. Like, Baltimore's up against Cincinnati. Do you know what Baltimore's first 5 games are? At Kansas City, Raiders. At Dallas, Buffalo, at Cincinnati. Where Cincinnati gets a New England game at home at Kansas City, a Washington game at home at Carolina before they play Baltimore in week 5. So,
yeah,
Cincinnati at -115 for me is the obvious play.
What was the Ravens schedule?
The tie at +330 is better than the Ravens at +165.
What was the Ravens schedule again?
At Kansas City, Raiders at home. Okay. At Dallas, Buffalo at home, at Cincinnati. They play each other in this one in week 5.
Yeah, I mean, that week 5 could be big, but
yeah, my point being that the most likely thing is Cincinnati winning it. The second most likely thing is a tie at +330.
Yeah.
Baltimore is not beating them in the first 5.
Well, because the Bengals almost have 2 byes, right? Where the Ravens have 1, but then they play each other.
I assume you called the byes New England and Carolina.
No, I actually meant, I forgot about Washington being in there, too. You're right.
That's why I was clarifying if you were being blasphemous.
I like Washington, but it's still a bye for the Bengals.
I think so, too. At home?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, for sure. Then there's Baltimore against Kansas City. This one I actually do like the tie at +340 because we just mentioned the Baltimore schedule at Kansas City, Raiders at Dallas, Buffalo at Cincinnati. Kansas City's got Baltimore. They play each other week 1.
Yeah.
Cincinnati at home, at Atlanta, at the Chargers, New Orleans. So that could easily be a +340 tie.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple more, if you'll indulge me. Detroit at Dallas. Detroit's got a bye in week 5, but I still like Detroit at +150 or the tie at +250 more than I like Dallas, who's the short shot at +115, because Detroit has the Rams at home, the Bucks at home, at Arizona, Seattle at home, and then a bye. So they can only win a grand total of 4. Let's call it 3-1. Is Dallas winning 4 of at Cleveland, New Orleans at home, Baltimore at home, at the Giants, at Pittsburgh? Maybe, but probably not. So that could be a
probably
tie.
Not.
I don't like the short shot. And then the last one is Dallas and Philly. I really like the tie at plus 270 in that one.
Oh, okay. Okay, this was the one. Remember what I was saying before where I did the whole, like, I'm like, okay, what do I think the pricing is going to be? It was way more shaded to the, like, I thought the Cowboys should be the favorite in that. It was way more shaded that way than I thought it was going to be.
I like in a couple of these that I mentioned, Baltimore, Kansas City, tie plus 340, and Dallas, Philadelphia, plus 270, and maybe even Detroit, Dallas, where the tie's at plus 250. I just think you're getting a really good, like, it's a really bad baseball team. Like, it's, you know, it's like the White Sox at the 1998 Yankees, right? At that kind of price for 5 weeks of football where you can just sit back and hope that they match.
Yeah.
I just think it's a good, fun bet to have at a very nice price.
Well, and I don't know if it kind of sounds like you were the same way, but, like, when I first looked at them, too, I was like, man, there has to be a little bit of value on almost all these ties. It feels like soccer, right? When you're looking at all these soccer matches.
For sure. And I don't even like those ties as much as I liked Washington versus New England.
Agreed.
And
yeah,
Cleveland versus Pittsburgh. But the ties on some of these others represent great value. Wimbledon has had a lot of tennis. So I still have the five matches I have still have not started. So I just want to repeat those one more time. And all of them, with the exception of Rinki Hijikata, they are all still available here in terms of the price being right around where I got it. Again, every host, every guest, every sport that they're betting, every pick that they have in every sport at the network at VSiN.com/picks for VSiN subscribers. The five plays I have, again, I had Rinki Hijikata at minus 135, but last we looked, it was minus 149 against Flavio Cobolli. So I wouldn't play it at that price. If it came back down, I would. Hijikata was the first. But these are all in pocket in terms of the price. Victoria Golubic, I have minus 115 against Julie Niemeyer. Olivia Gadecki on the ladies' side, plus 165 against Robin Montgomery. Then in addition to Hijikata on the men's side, I have Mackenzie McDonald at plus 128 against Emil Ruusuvuori. And the over, 44.5 in the Eubanks-Halas match, which should be a serve bot match. One last thing. We were talking earlier with Drew about the women's side of the bracket. If you did not make any pre-flop Wimbledon futures plays, there is still an opportunity on the women's side. Men's side, not so much. It's still super top heavy, and there's not really. I mean, I did recommend on the podcast in terms of, like, you know, the quarters. Tommy Paul in Carlos Alcaraz's quarter, pretty live. I think if you absolutely needed to make a Q2 bet on the men's side, that's the one I'd make. In Q3, if you don't believe in Sasha Zverev, Jack Draper would be the call in Q3. If you believe Djokovic is vulnerable, either Urkacz or Dimonor in Q4. Full disclosure, though, I didn't make any of those. I made all my bets on the women's side. Again, when Arina Sabalenka announced this weekend that she was having shoulder problems, I got ahead of her, what ended up being her eventual withdrawal. And so my bets gravitated towards her side of the bracket. Pre-flop, I had Iga with Sinner and Iga with Carlitos. But then over the weekend, as I mentioned yesterday, took Daria Kasatkina 22-1 to make the final. Again, she's on that half. And she's actually, I mean, she's live in that quarter, too. I don't know what the current quarter price is on her when that reappears. But I have her not to win the quarter. I have her to win that half of the bracket to make the finals at 22-1. She's super live in that quarter now because Sabalenka's out, Andreeva's out, Zhang Xianwen is out. I mean,
+275, +270.
Yeah, so she has dropped. I mean, she has really
co-favorite
crashed.
with Raducanu.
That's amazing that her and Emma Raducanu are now the co-favorite. So that 22-1 to make the final is live. I also have her to face Iga in the final at 100-1. This is all because of Sabalenka announcing her injury just ran, like, out of the blue this weekend. And then I also have Iga with Matty Keys in the final at 40-1. Matty Keys, if you don't believe in Coco or Osaka, who, by the way, has a tough match against Navarro, I think Matty Keys, like, this is a lot of American players are going to do well, both on the men's and the women's side this year. So I think Matty Keys is live in Q4, which we talked about on the podcast as well. And Jesse Pegula in Q2, speaking of Americans, I mean, I think she's live in Elena Rybakina's, because Elena Rybakina, you don't know what is you don't know match for match if she's going to pull out with some gastrointestinal issue. We hope the best for her, but she's pulled out of four tournaments already this year. So, I mean,
you got some great bets in pocket right now. I mean, if you were landing on this with nothing, though, you'd be betting Iga still +350, right? With the withdrawals that have happened,
she's gonna. The problem is that her quarter is what Drew was
it's
saying.
Still tough.
her half is still packed and her quarter is still packed. But if she can get out of it, she's going to win one of these Wimbledons eventually. This year might be the year. Might be the year. Okay, she's got to get by Sofia Kenin today. You know, so like it already starts with a tough match. We'll see. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic next on the radio side. Best bets next. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.